Good evening. Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen. Amen.
I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past and present. It is a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. I formally declare this meeting of Council of the City of Perth open. Are there any apologies this evening?
Yes, Deputy Chair Commissioner, our Chair Commissioner Lumsden and Ms. Rebecca Moore, our Director of Community and Commercial Services, are both apologies this evening.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. As part of the normal proceedings, we have received the public gallery meeting guest register, and I'd particularly like to welcome three students here tonight who are attending as part of their university assignments. So good luck with those. And we'll be welcome to take any feedback. Thank you. Are there any questions from the public?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
Or questions from the floor? If not, thank you. We'll move on to item 4.2, which is the notification of deputations. Are there any deputations this evening, Mr. CEO?
Yes, Deputy Chair Commissioner. In relation to item 4.2.1, there's a deputation request received from Mr. Giovanni Monaco, the body corporate chair of 1076 Hay Street, West Perth, in relation to item 13.1, which is a change of use for level 1 into a dog daycare centre. And there's a second deputation listed under 4.2.2 that was received from Mr. Ryan Darby from Roberts Day in relation to item 13.2, which is 195 or lot 52 Pier Street, Perth. There's a proposed mixed-use public works development item.
Thank you very much. We'll take those deputations at the time of handling the items. Thank you. Are there any commissioners on leave of absence or requests for leave of absence, Mr. CEO?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
So moving now to the confirmation of the minutes from our previous meeting, would somebody please move those minutes?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond, and I'm happy to second from the Chair. Is there any discussion on the minutes, Commissioner Hammond? If not, I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? Motion carried with nil against. Item 7, these are the announcements from the Chair. I'd particularly like to welcome all guests this evening. It's really encouraging to see so many people wishing to attend the meeting and participate in our local decision making. So thank you very much for your attendance. Moving on to item 8, disclosure of members' interest. Do any commissioners or employees have an interest to disclose in any item included in the agenda apart from those that I have declared under items 13.10 and 13.13? Any further disclosures, please?
No.
Thank you. We'll note those reported. Are there any questions on which notice has been given?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
And has any correspondence been received?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
And moving to item 11, have any petitions been received?
No, Deputy Chair Commissioner.
Are there any matters for which the meeting may be closed, Mr. CEO?
Yes, Deputy Chair, Commissioner, in accordance with Section 523(2) of the Local Government Act 1995, should a Commissioner wish to discuss the content of the confidential attachments in relation to item 13.4 and 13.10, it is recommended that Council resolve to close the meeting to the public prior to discussion of the item.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Commissioner Hammond, do you wish for those items to be covered in camera?
No, I haven't.
Thank you. Neither do I. We'll move to the main part of the meeting, the reports. Would somebody move the en bloc motion that, with the exceptions of items 13.1, 13.2, 13.3, 13.4, 13.10, 13.11, 13.13, 13.18, 13.19, which are to be considered separately, the officer recommendations for the remaining items, 13.15 to 13.9, 13.12, 13.14 to 13.7 be adopted by Council en bloc by an absolute majority.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond, and I'm happy to second that motion. Is there any discussion?
Deputy Chair, Commissioner, I just noticed you mentioned 13.15 to 13.9. It was actually listed on the run sheet, 13.5 to 13.9.
Oh, I beg your pardon, yes. Madam Sec. Thank you very much. Subject to that clarification, is there any discussion on those? On Bob? Thank you. I will put the motion to vote. All those in favour and nil against. So for the benefit of the public gallery, those items that have been identified have been passed as per the officer recommendations contained in the agenda. For those of you who had an interest in those items, you're still very, very welcome to leave the chamber or stay to observe the remainder of the meeting, of which there'll be the discussion. Moving to the first item, agenda item 13.1. This item relates to 581 to 583, lots 6 and 36 of Murray Street, West Perth, change of use for level 1 to a dog daycare centre, unlisted use, and shop retail general use, including minor works and signage. We have a deputation this evening from Mr. Giovanni Monaco of 1076 Hay Street, West Perth. Please come forward.
Good evening. I'll take these off so I can actually read. My name is Giovanni Monaco and I'm one of the strata owners of the property at 1076 Hay Street in West Perth. I'm also the chairman of the body corporate and I'll speak in that capacity. I want to make a deputation to Council to cover up on the proposed change of use for level 1, 581 to 583 Murray Street in West Perth. We have very serious concern about the proposed change of use of this property to a dog daycare business, which is currently an unlisted use. We believe this change of use will have a significant and detrimental impact to the area in a number of ways. We make this deputation for the following reasons. As we all know, the ability to find tenants in West Perth is incredibly difficult. The vacancy rates in West Perth haven't moved much from 15% to 25% over the past 3 to 4 years. To give you an example, I purchased 430 square metres at 1076 Hay Street in November 2013. I was able to let 195 of the 430 square metres in June 2016. This is some 2.5 years after acquiring the property. I subsequently let the balance of 235 square metres in November 2017, a period of vacancy of 4 years. The lease for my tenants expires in June 2021. I don't believe they are likely to stay there if the use of the property next door is altered to a dog daycare, not to mention the proposed new colour of the building. This is also going to be an eyesore for what is largely a residential and office space area. We already have some vacancy in the building and we believe the dog daycare centre, being so close to our building, will exacerbate the problem. When it comes to looking for new tenants, particularly when there is an abundance of choice in the West Perth area, it is going to make it more difficult to find tenants with a dog daycare centre in such close proximity. It is hard to imagine a professional organisation wanting to look out of their window in the morning, during the day, and then in the afternoons when they are meeting with business leaders, only to then see dogs going in and out of that building, a building that is going to be painted a pink colour. It will make it professionally untenable. Consequently, the implication for the property owners is that the dog daycare centre will pose a serious threat to our ability to retain or attract new tenants. The value of my property, albeit I've spent several hundred thousand dollars in renovating the property and then more money on the fit-out, has still dropped. In speaking to valuers about the dog daycare facility, the feedback has been that such a facility will cause the values in both the residential and commercial areas to fall. I also believe that the change of use to a dog daycare centre at 581 to 583 Murray Street is likely to reduce the value of my property even further. The belief is also shared by other strata owners of 1076 Shea Street and, I believe, surrounding areas. This is why, of the 16 submissions received, 14 submissions have been clearly against the proposal. When we initially acquired the property and looked at the zoning of the property, the zoning was not one that would have allowed a dog daycare centre in the locality. It is an unlisted use. We would not have purchased the property if we had known this issue could or would be allowed. We stand to lose more value on the property with this change of use. While I understand this may not be an issue the council needs to consider, the fact is that the downturn that has occurred has already placed substantial financial strain on property owners, and there are now property owners that are pushed in regards to their banking covenants and loan-to-value ratios. A further decrease in property values could see them in breach of their banking covenants and forced into liquidation. Whilst this may seem a little extreme, this is a real risk. I also note that the 16 submissions that have been received by the City of Perth, 14 were against and 2 were conditionally supporting the proposal. Therefore, there was no one that was fully supportive of the idea, be they residential property owners or commercial property owners. Another way to look at this is that 100% of submissions that have taken the time to respond are against the change to the use of the area as a dog care facility. Given the timing of the request for submissions, that is, the fortnight leading up to the 25th of January, I would guess that a number of owners may have been on leave. I suspect that if there was more time, as well as requests being asked for at a different time of the year, there would have been additional arguments against the proposed dog daycare centre. In all honesty, I was really surprised this change of use was even being considered. I also note that there are responses and practices that need to be adhered to by the proponents of the dog daycare facility in order to ensure compliance with a number of requirements being requested by the council for issues such as noise management and smell, to mention a few. Another difficulty to be considered is how is this to be managed? Who will determine what an acceptable level of smell is, or noise, and any other side effects is to the local tenants and residents? I note that this is going to require additional resources to monitor, which means additional costs to us, the taxpayers, the very taxpayers that are against this very proposal. While there are a number of examples where the dog daycare centres are situated around the country, I note that none of those areas are in the CBD of the capital cities. They all appear to be significantly outside of the CBD compared to the relativity between West Perth and the Perth CBD. I look simply at New South Wales and Victoria. Using Collins Street in Victoria as the centre of the CBD, the average distance between the CBD and the dog daycare centres was 8 kilometres. I did the same in New South Wales using George Street as the centre of the CBD. The average distance from the CBD there was 3 kilometres. 581 Murray Street is only 500 metres from St George's Terrace. In looking at Clause 67 of the deemed provisions and the points highlighted in the documents that have been prepared, I believe the proposed use does not adhere to their intentions of Clause M, N, T, X and Y. In regards to Clause 76M, it says that you need to consider whether the use is going to be compatible with its setting, including the relationship of the development on adjoining land and appearance of the development. A pink building with pictures of dogs in what is a professional and residential area, I don't believe is a fit. A development like this, a few more kilometres outside of the CBD, as they are in the other capital cities, may work. However, this is not a fit within 500 metres of the Perth CBD. Clause 67N1 refers to the environmental impacts of the development. The dog facility will have a negative impact on the environment due to noise and smell. While there seems to be a belief that this can be managed, it does not mean there will not be an inconvenience to the current businesses and landowners for what is an unlisted use. Why should existing businesses and residents have to deal with this for an unlisted use? In regards to 76N2, this refers to the character of the locality. The character of the locality is retail, residential and office. Having animals in this area is not part of the character of the area, and potentially 60 dogs in one location. Clause 67N3 refers to the social impact of the development. While I've already covered off on the social impacts, we have already seen that based on the responses to date, it is clear the social impact is not acceptable to the local area community. Clearly, no one has come forward and said they are happy to have a dog daycare facility in this location. This point is made clear from the objections received and documented. And finally, in regards to clause 67Y, 14 of the 16 submissions received on the application are clearly not wanting this use to be allowed. The remaining two submissions are not sold on the idea. The impact on the development of the community is also covered off by the responses you've received to date. There are going to be people that will want to leave the area due to the proposal, and there are going to be negative impacts on the ability of existing residential and commercial property owners to be able to sell their property. I would like to ask the council to consider carefully the change of use application, as this change of use will have many unintended consequences that will be far-reaching for the local amenity, for property owners and for their tenants. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that very extensive deputation. Would you be willing to take some questions from the commissioners?
Hopefully I can answer them.
Thank you. Commissioner Hammond, did you have any clarifying questions? Thank you. My question relates to this specific site, which I inspected just last week. Mm. The site is actually set back from the apartments, got roads on both sides, freeway. There was quite a lot of ambient noise already in the area. I understand the concern with respect to the noise from the dogs, but given that ambient noise that's already in that area and the proposals for managing the noise, how strongly do you feel that the noise issue could affect adjacent properties?
I guess my main concern is, the noise, the waste are all issues that are going to exist. But this area is an area that is for office space, for retail, for residential. You've got cafes, you've got a gym on the ground floor. The appearance of dogs, the potential for there to be dog droppings in the area, the potential for the noise. I don't believe that that this area is a good place to have dogs, and more so when we bought the property, when we bought the development, when we spent money, significant amounts of money on developing the place, it was always for to look for a return on your investment. With this dog daycare centre going ahead there, the implications for us is that it's while we've suffered significant devaluations in property in West Perth, as you know, this will actually exacerbate that, and it's going to make it, for us to in the future look to let some of our space in West Perth, businesses coming in there that are going to see the pink, they're going to see dogs, it's going to be a major detraction for them. It's going to make it significantly more difficult to let the space out, given the already significant vacancy in that area.
So thank you. And these questions are really to give full value and attention to your extensive concerns. So in inspecting that property, on the ground floor, there's a gym.
Yep.
With people coming and going. That didn't seem to be an issue at all, and the gym owner, the person who was running the gym, actually came out and you know, asked if he could help us. I suppose, you know, having turned up, he thought, who are these people? But in speaking to him, it was also obvious that the building in its current state's quite run down. As we all know, if things are not used, then they get further run down. So is it the physical presentation of the building, how important is that to you with respect to impacting on the amenity of the area? This, you mentioned the colour pink a couple of times. Is that something that is really important from your perspective versus, say, the noise, where that can be addressed with, so we have been advised?
Look, my concern is that the feedback has been that the noise can be addressed, but we don't know that. The feedback has been that the smells can be addressed. We don't know that until it actually happens. The appearance, yeah, definitely don't like it. Perhaps my accounting background doesn't help with the colour, but...
I have to say, I'm an accountant as well.
Do you like the pink? Oh, jokes aside, jokes aside.
Well, I'm asking you questions, you're asking me a question, and I think I should answer. I don't think the colour pink is necessarily the most attractive colour for that area. So, yes.
Yeah, look, I don't believe the pink fits. I don't believe the change in intended use is appropriate. I'm very against it, and as you've seen, I guess, from the other property owners in the area have responded in the same way through their submissions. There has been no one that's been supportive of this change of use. Now, while I actually spoke to the guy in the gym on the ground floor, and without being, for want of a better word, a smart ass, sometimes it's difficult to know what the repercussions and the implications are going to be from a change like that until it actually happens. And given my age, I suppose, and lack of hair, I've kind of had a bit more experience than some hair. I know that there are quite often unintended consequences from changes that are made and changes to intended uses. And I believe this is a change to the intended use that's going to be a major issue for not only me, but for other landowners and other people trying to let space out in that vicinity, as well as the residential people.
And my final question of clarification is, what I observed behind the building was that there was quite a large amount of parking, and the dropping off and picking up of animals was actually going to be something that perhaps is not going to be as obvious in this proposed doggy daycare centre as, say, as the one that's operating in East Perth, which is actually part of a larger REIT, already established retail and apartment building. So I was wanted to really clarify around that additional, that interaction of where you saw dogs coming and going, and whether you really would see them coming and going.
Yep. Look, I get your point. The suite that I own in Hay Street is the suite that actually overlooks that car parking area, and because of the way the properties are structured, the wall facing east is pretty much a solid wall. The wall facing north, south and west is where the glass is. My suite and Airy Taylor's suite, which is upstairs, the boardrooms are situated on that side because that's where the glass is, that's where the windows is, and that's where your views are. The view from what would be potentially be what is currently a boardroom for two of my tenants overlooks that area alone. So it is directly, it is going to be a direct impact, and that's, as I was saying earlier, the fact, the situations are where you have meetings and you're trying to impress people and you're trying to do the right thing, as you do in some of these board meetings, And then you look down and out and you appreciate the views, the freeway and everything else there. And then there is a whole stack of dogs down in that area. And as per the approval, they're asking for somewhere, I think, 60 to 70 dogs in one location is a significant number of dogs.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Commissioner Hammond, anything to add?
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner, look, we deferred this item from the last council meeting because we did have concerns regarding noise mitigation, or that was my principal concern. Mr CEO, could I ask a question of the planning officers, please? The colour, whatever colour it is, the colour pink, purple, crepe pink, if there wasn't a development application under consideration, could the owners of that building choose whatever colour they liked to paint it?
Yes, through the chair, that's correct. The external painting of a non-heritage building doesn't require a development application, so the current owners could choose to paint it that colour without our approval.
Okay, so the reason I raise that is that I actually don't like the colour, but it's a free world, and everybody has a different perception of what's good and what's bad. So I don't see that as a valid planning consideration. However, in hearing what's been stated out, my concerns relating to the mitigation of noise remained. And I am not satisfied that the city has the necessary capacity, both lawfully and logistically, to be able to ensure that the management of this facility, as is stated in the development approval, can be complied with. So on that basis, I propose a motion to refuse the development application.
Thank you, Commissioner.
No.
I've just been advised that, unfortunately, under standing orders, that's not possible.
As a member of a ratepayer, the city clerk.
I'm advised that I am able, under the Local Government Act, to suspend standing orders. But I would need that to be moved and seconded. I'd like to move the suspension of standing orders and allow a member of the public to speak. Do I have a seconder for that?
Yeah, just a point of order, Madam Chair, that I've just moved the motion. So if you're proposing that and I understand that these are the proponents of the application and they're probably concerned about
Thank you, Commissioner, Deputy Chair Commissioner. My understanding is that a member of the public has the right to ask a question at the beginning of the meeting or request a deputation. Once Council is dealing with the matters on the agenda, those rights no longer exist, and it's up to the Council to continue its business.
Commissioner Hammond has moved a motion, and that should be addressed by the chair, and it should either be seconded and dealt with, or alternatively, if it's not seconded, the motion would lapse for want of a seconder. And then you, if you wanted to move a motion to suspend standing orders to enable a member of the public to ask a question or make a comment, provided you got a seconder to that motion and it was carried, you'd be able to invite discussion.
Okay. Through you, Madam Chair, I'll withdraw that motion. Just to clear the deck, so to speak, and then you...
And you are then free to put that motion at a later stage. Mm-hmm. So, for the record, Commissioner Hammond is withdrawing the motion to...
Allow
a member of the... which will allow a member of the public to speak to the issue. Now, for the students in the room, I am an accountant who perhaps doesn't like pink, so I apologise, but it is really important that we get the procedure correct in order to ensure that any decision that is made is enforceable and effective. So could I invite the member of the public who's requested to speak?
Sorry, Deputy Chair, that's still not permitted in my opinion. You need to suspend standing orders.
Well, I will move that we suspend standing orders. Do I have a seconder?
Madam Chair, we'll need to determine which standing order is to be suspended. So could we ask Mr. Cork the actual standing order in relation to the order of the meeting?
Yes, you may. Standing Order 4.3, Order of Business, which requires the question time for the public to be heard after apologies and before the members' leave of absence.
Thank you. I move that we suspend Standing Order 4.3.
And I second that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, and I'm sorry for disrupting proceedings so much. My name's Joanne Huggins. I am a ratepayer of the City of Perth. I own a property in Mounts Bay Road, an investment unit, which I've had for about 12 years, and I too have experienced a downturn in my value. There's been a lot of things that I couldn't predict when I bought that property and things that have influenced the value. So I understand where you're coming from when you say your value is a concern to you, but there's a lot more at stake here for this business than just values of properties. It was mentioned that the property up until recently has been derelict. I think I'd like to add to that to say that there were street people sleeping in that building and it was covered in graffiti. The proposed building, whilst the colour might be controversial, the colour's only a minor detail. I'm sure that the proposed business owner would be happy to change it. It's going to improve the look of the building, regardless of what colour she paints it, because it's going to be a professional, classy-looking little business. So that's the one thing that I think people should be aware of. The other thing is there's three people waiting for jobs, three people that don't have jobs right now that are going to be employed by this business, at least three people. One of those people is my daughter, and she hasn't been employed full-time for over 2 years. So your decision tonight will have an influence on her future. There's also a whole lot of small businesses that will be supplying products to this business that will also benefit from the doggy daycare opening. Businesses that are going to provide classy dog biscuits, things that you can't buy on a shelf at Woolworths, things that your apartment dwellers are going to like. Then it's the target market. The business is tailored to apartment dwellers who have small dogs, who want to get their little dogs out of their tiny apartments and out for some fun just down the road. So I'm shaking because this means a lot to me as well, because it matters to my daughter, it matters to Marion, the business owner, and it matters to me And whilst there were 14 objections, there were hundreds of people that said nothing because they probably don't care. They probably think it's good but couldn't be bothered responding. So there's 14 people out of all of those people that had something to say. Does that mean you make a decision on that? I really don't think that that's fair to make a decision on 14 people that bothered to comment when there's hundreds of people that didn't. So I'm sorry, I'm not probably speaking as professionally as I'd like to be, but this is quite emotive for me because I can see something very good being thrown out because of one person's opinion about pink and noise. And as for the smell, you're not going to smell dogs that are in an enclosed building with air conditioning and being professionally cared for. There's so many things that these guys are going to put in place by way of procedures that will manage noise, manage the smell, manage the traffic coming and going. And the guy with the meetings, you've got curtains or blinds in buildings, I think. You can close those while your meetings are on so your people don't have to see the dogs. Some people like dogs and don't mind seeing them. So, you know, it cuts both ways. Thank you for your time, and I'd like you to reconsider your decision, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would like to move the resumption of standing orders. Thank you. I'd now like... We'll both vote on the resumption of the resumption of standing orders. So I'm going to vote for it.
Yep, I'm good.
That's so
carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's quite exciting, really, isn't it? Now, I would like to do is move back to the item, agenda 13.1. We have the item outlined in the agenda, and the item is that this change of use, etc., be the recommendation is that we approve that. Do we have a mover for that motion? We don't have a mover. So therefore, on that basis, this item has not been approved, and we...
No, you need to seek an alternative motion if somebody's not prepared to move the recommendation.
Okay. Is there an alternate motion?
Yeah, through you, Madam Chair, before I move the motion, I'd just like to make a couple of points about, not about the Doggy Daycare Centre, but about the role of council in the context of its quasi-judicial function as a planning authority. In doing so, it's the role of the council only to consider matters relating to planning merit. So therefore, whilst some of the issues that have been raised by both parties are relevant to their own lives, the fact remains is that the commissioners or councillors can only consider matters relating to the planning merit or otherwise of the proposal. So on that basis, I still remain unconvinced that the noise mitigation, and I'm not concerned about the colour, I am not concerned about the management of waste, but I am concerned about noise mitigation with that number of dogs. And I would imagine that there are other alternative sites within the locality that might be of less impact. That's my current view. I am not convinced that that noise can be managed, and if it can't, then the horse is bolted, that noise nuisance will remain. Now, if there was a solution to this, I would be more than happy to recommend. But the issue was that the matter of noise was raised initially as a major concern, and I still don't see that it can be managed effectively, particularly those dogs coming from vehicles, etc., being taken into the facility. If the planning officers can provide me with a solution that can satisfy those concerns outside what the officer's report is, I'd be happy to go along with that.
So would you like to move an alternate motion?
My alternate motion would be that to refuse the application based upon concerns as to the effective mitigation of noise and the negative impact that would have on the immediate locality.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. One moment, please. My apologies for the delay, ladies and gentlemen. So Commissioner Hammond has moved a motion to reject. I will second that motion. Would you like to speak further to that motion, Commissioner Hammond?
Once again, generally the my concerns relating to noise mitigation remain. I am really concerned that if the city allowed this development to proceed, then if the noise was not managed effectively, and there's no guarantees it can be, then whilst the values of those properties is not a valid planning consideration whatsoever, the amenity of the residents certainly is. And if we cannot be assured that the amenity of that those residents are protected, then I'm of the view that if we cannot guarantee that, then we should not approve the proposal. Given that there are many, many, many vacant facilities in the CBD that would be less impactful on the amenity of the area.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. All those in favour? Nil against. The motion has not been carried. The motion has been carried, but to refuse the application. Thank you. Moving now to Agenda Item 13.2, Lot 52, Pier Street, Perth. This is the proposed 27-level mixed-use public works development containing 184 apartments, cafes, restaurants, a community shared space and 183 car parking bays, and also relative to the bonus plot ratio. I understand we have a deputation this evening from Mr. Ryan Darby of Roberts Day.
Is that of order?
Excuse me. That is out of order. Could we please ask that the decision
of the council, which has been extensively researched with site visits, desktop research and others, I can understand that the proponents must be very disappointed, but I'd please ask that you respect the decision and not pass any aspersions on the decision-making credibility of Commissioner Hammond or myself or any officer. So I do empathise with your disappointment, but I must insist that any comment like that is out of order. Thank you.
Including interruption of debate.
I'd now like to move to item 13.2, please. We have a deputation request from Mr. Ryan Darby of Roberts Day. Mr. Darby.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Ryan Darby. I'm speaking on behalf of the applicant, which is the Department of Communities, and speaking in support of the proposed development and against the officer recommendation. The purpose of the deputation is to elaborate further on the presentations from last week's agenda briefing session and to provide additional background in regards to the assessment of the application itself, and in particular the bonus plot ratio discussions that we've had with the city officers, and in particular in regards to response to part one and advice note one of the recommendation. Prior to commencing, I'd like to thank the city staff during the pre-assessment and post-assessment discussions and negotiations that we had. Whilst we didn't see eye to eye each time, it was still enjoyable. So thanks to Margaret and the team for all that. It's quite refreshing to have meaningful negotiations with local government officers. A bit of background in regards to the development itself. We originally lodged the development application requesting a 50% plot ratio bonus based on a 20% provision of residential use and then a combined 30% for the provision of special residential land uses, being social and affordable housing, and also the provision of public facilities, which was a mixture of a community facility and tenancy on the ground floor, share cars, a laneway, and also a temporary park as well. When the matter was presented to the city's design advisory committee, they supported a 38% bonus plot ratio, 20% for the residential land use, 15% for the special residential component, being social housing, and 3% for the proposed community tenancy. Acting in good faith and on the presumption that the 15% bonus plot ratio for the social housing was going to be supported by the city, the project architects amended the plans to address the comments of the DAC, and they were primarily in regards to Design WA, and it must be said that Design WA was released 2 days prior to us lodging our application, which made it quite difficult, but the architects did a great job in regards to managing to address a number of those design matters, including increasing setbacks, reducing height of the podium, increasing the apartment sizes, and also increasing ceiling heights in the podium level as well. As a result, we reduced the required bonus plot ratio from 50% down to 42.5%. Following that, we met with the city officers to present the amended plans and provide further information why the community facility should be granted a higher bonus plot ratio based on comparable facilities on other approved development applications within the city. And also we had, progressed our discussions with the prospective tenant, being town teams, on that community facility. And we did have that letter of intent that was presented at the agenda briefing session last week. It was agreed by the city officers that the additional 4.5% bonus could be supported for the community tenancy, and this would increase it from the 38% as recommended by the DAC to the required 42.5%, and those are the plans that are being presented tonight. However, following this meeting, we were advised by the city officers via email that despite the recommendation of the DAC, that the city officers wouldn't support the 15% bonus plot ratio for the social housing component based on their interpretation of what special residential is and the land use definition. This was a surprise to us because it hadn't been referred to us previously that this was going to be an issue. And that brings us into regards to the recommendations on the agenda item tonight. So part one of the recommendation is therefore based on the city's opinion that the provision of social housing does not meet that special residential land use need. read an excerpt from recommendation 1.1 saying that, and I'm abbreviating here, that the additional floor space provided won't, that benefits the development without providing sufficient community benefits or facilities. We believe that the provision of social and affordable housing is considered to provide suitable community benefits, as this has been identified in two reports in regards to the need for social and affordable housing, including one of those reports which was co-commissioned by the City of Perth in collaboration with Department of Communities and the MRA in 2013, called Central Perth Housing Needs Assessment, and this was backed up by an additional report in 2017 by the Department of Communities called Estimating Unmet Housing Need and Priority Areas and Public and Affordable Housing in Local Government Area Level. And both of those identified there was an immediate need for social and affordable housing within the city itself. This need is reaffirmed by the latest data from the Department of Communities, which advised that there's a waiting list of more than 900 applicants in the North City Zone. A majority of these are single people, and obviously the department-style development is perfect for accommodating these people, and the proposed development will assist in reducing that waiting list down. In regards to recommendation 1.2, abbreviating again that the development does not comply with the scheme and inclusion of the 15% bonus plot ratio for the provision of the social housing does not comply with the city's bonus plot ratio policy. The provision of social housing is considered to meet the definition of special residential, as it is considered to be specialised residential accommodation. This has been confirmed by legal advice provided by Lavin Legal, which was appended to the development application itself, but it is noted that this legal advice has not been referred to in the report and has not been appended to the agenda. The provision of social and affordable housing is also considered to meet objective 3 of the city's bonus plot ratio policy, being that there is an identified need for this type of housing to assist in creating in a living and vibrant capital city, as outlined in those two previous reports I discussed. Moving on to in regards to advice note 1, in regards to commentary in regards to the future subdivision of the site, we did place the application over a balanced title site itself. We're only requesting that the development application is over one portion of that site, being 841 square metres. However, advice note 1 states that the city will not support any future subdivision of lot 52 that would result in the development of new lots exceeding the maximum plot ratio requirements contrary to the scheme. In respect to this, please note that we've been clear that we're only developing that northern portion and we seek to retain the plot ratio required, plot ratio available to us for the southern portion or the undeveloped portion. We specifically asked the city officers whether we need to subdivide prior to the development of the northern portion, and we advise that this is not required. As a result, any future subdivision application should be assessed on its merits, and the development potential of the surplus portion of land should not be limited based on the outcome of this pending application. So in conclusion, as stated in the agenda report, the proposal has a high design quality with no pink in it, and there is a need for more social and affordable housing in the city. We believe there is scope under the city's scheme and policies to provide its support for the proposal, and is therefore requested that the council advise the WAPC, who are the determining authority, that the application is supported with the 42.5% bonus plot ratio being awarded. Thank you for your time and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Darby. Any questions, Commissioner Hammond?
No, not for me.
No, and I don't have any other. Thank you.
We
have a recommendation. Do we have a mover for the recommendation?
Through you, Madam Chair, I have an alternate recommendation that I don't know that I need to read all of it out. However, is it feasible that I just read out the main preamble?
Yes, thank you.
Through the chair, it would be preferable for the gallery to read it all out, please. And the reason as well is required for the motion.
Okay.
So instructed.
It's going to take about half an hour. I would move that council advises the WAPC that it recommends approval for the proposed 27-level mixed-use development containing 184 apartments, a cafe, restaurant, a community shared space and 183 car parking bays at 195 in brackets lot 52 Pier Street, Perth, subject to the development being constructed with high quality and durable materials and finishes and to a level of detailing that is consistent with the elevations and perspectives received on 10th of April 2018, with particular attention to providing aesthetic treatments and finishes to the side and rear boundary walls of the podium levels, with the final details of the design and a sample board of the materials, colours and finishes being prepared in consultation with the city and submitted to and approved by the Western Australian Planning Commission prior to applying for a building permit. The podium car parking level is being designed to ensure all car parking is screened from view from the street and surrounding properties, with the final details being prepared in consultation.
Hammond,
yeah.
I think what we could do is just refer to the items that are already in the agenda that you support, as opposed to reading all of them out in
full. That's what I was proposing.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, so, Madam Chair, if I can, what's been read is a preamble to the recommended approval, and it's referring to clause 2.1
in the officer's
2.1 of the officer's recommendation, and then yeah. I think if you...
Yeah, sure. Okay, can I start again then? That council advises the WAPC that it recommends approval for the proposed 27-level mixed-use development containing 184 apartments, cafe, restaurant, a community shared space, and 183 car parking bays at 195 Pier Street, Perth, subject to the conditions as outlined in clause 2.1 of the officer's recommendation contained in the officer's report pertaining to this item, and with an addition, an extra clause relating to the community space or garden, being the vacant, excuse me, the vacant southern portion of lot 52 being landscaped or made available as a community space garden to prevent the spread of dust and unauthorised car parking and to enhance the amenity of the locality until such time as when the portion is redeveloped, with details of the landscaping or community space garden being prepared in consultation with the city and to the satisfaction of the WAPC, with the landscaping or the community space garden being installed prior to the occupation of the development. That's what I move.
Thank you and well done. I second that motion. Commissioner Hammond, would you like to speak to your amended motion?
Thank you. And Mr. Cork, I've got the reason written out. Have you received that?
No, I don't have that in front of me, Commissioner.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay. Because that was submitted to planning. So I see the problem.
Yeah. We do have it, but yeah. What's been read out is different
from
what's been handed in.
All right.
Therefore, we wanted clarification.
Sure. Yep. Okay. The officer's report is extensive, well-written and appropriate, and recommends compliance with the town planning scheme and, in particular, the policies that inform Clause 28 relating to plot ratio bonuses. The officers therefore had little option but to recommend refusal of the application. It is well within the rights of the council, however, to support developments that fall outside of the city's guiding policy framework, provided that there is good reason to do so and the ultimate development achieves satisfactory planning outcomes and adds value to the social, economic and environmental fabric of the city. The shortage of social housing in Perth is well known and documented. The Anglicare Rental Affordability Snapshot 2019, which was released a couple of days ago, highlighted the following. As government has abandoned social housing, more of these people have been languishing on waiting lists, forced to compete for rentals in the private market. That has been pushing rent prices up, and at Anglicare, we have seen for a decade from these snapshot reports, some have been pushed onto couches, into sheds, or to crisis accommodation. Others are sleeping rough. The solution is simple, but has proven to be stubbornly difficult. Government must reclaim responsibility for housing. The most important first step is to tackle the social housing shortfall. Rental stress, insecurity and homelessness does not have to be the way of the future. We can and we must invest in affordable rentals for everyone, especially people who need them the most, and ensure that everyone has a place to call home. I don't necessarily agree with the statement from Anglicare that the government has abandoned social housing. I think that's a bit unfair, but the fact remains that Australia and Western Australia has a significant problem in meeting social and affordable housing needs. The city is currently experiencing many challenges with homelessness and rough sleeping. And whilst social housing is definitely not a quick fix for this difficult and pressing issue, it sits at both ends of the homelessness continuum. A lack of social and affordable housing in the first instant is clearly identified as one of the causal factors of homelessness. At the other end of the continuum, when the victims of homelessness have reached and received the necessary support and care so as to be ready and able to take up tenancy in social housing, it is critically important that capacity exists. It is accepted that all tiers of government deal with significant challenges in allocating resources to ever-increasing competing priorities. Investment in social housing, like many other worthwhile and necessary community services, has been affected by these competing priorities. Plot ratio bonuses have proven to be a very effective public policy lever in stimulating and enabling private sector investment in land uses that are deemed to be congruent with the strategic planning objectives of the city. This development clearly demonstrates that with appropriate incentives, social housing can be delivered by the private sector in an integrated, sensible and dignified manner. It follows that the reduced capacity of governments to provide the capital for such projects means that appropriate incentives to the private sector to deliver them is an obvious and low-cost solution. Having a plot ratio bonus for social housing, provided that it is effectively integrated within larger mixed-use developments, is therefore seen as a sensible and appropriate public policy approach. Just as a point of order, I think it's important that part of that motion needs to be read out as well, which was the first...
So, Commissioner Hammond, I think perhaps you would like to just reiterate the first part of the motion.
Yep.
And incorporating into that all the officer recommendations that related to item the planning issues and the recommendations with respect to the form of the development, plus the second relating to the review. Would you agree with that?
I think I've achieved the first of that,
okay.
Have I not?
Yep.
The second part of the motion is that the council requests a review of the policy informing Clause 28 of the City of Perth Planning Scheme in order to establish the suitability, justification and planning merit of providing a 20% plot ratio bonus for social housing land uses, provided that they are effectively integrated within mixed-use developments comprising of residential and or special residential land uses.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. So that concludes both the full motion intended,
yeah,
and also your reasons,
yeah,
for,
yeah,
the motion. From the Chair, I'm happy to second the amended motion. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you. Moving to agenda item 13.3, the heritage grant for a conservation management plan for the Von Mark Arcade, 78 to 84 Barracks Street, Perth. I move from the chair that this agenda item be deferred. Do I have a seconder?
Through you, Madam Chair, would it be appropriate just to append subject to review of the policy guiding this application?
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. The reason for the recommendation be deferred is that that I would like to request that a review of the basis for which the heritage grants be given be reviewed by the officers and brought back to council. I would like to therefore defer this agenda item subject to that of review. Do I have a seconder? Any further discussion, Commissioner Hammond?
No.
Thank you. Carried. Moving to item 13.14, the East End Revitalisation 2018 Master Plan Update. Do I have a mover for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm happy to move that.
And seconded. Would you like to speak to that motion, Commissioner?
Yes, certainly very, very supportive of this motion. And we have received some feedback as to traffic management issues. I applaud the staff for the very professional work that they've done and make the point that all of the great cities in the world treat pedestrians as their prime target market and manage traffic effectively as a contingency, if you like, to pedestrian activity. And just as an aside to that, I have never seen a car driving down a street spend money at a local shop. All that car does is leave behind carbon monoxide. So whilst we have a need to ensure that the traffic flows around the city are effective, we also have a very strategic need to ensure that our pedestrian activation meets contemporary world standards and aligns with future public transport to ensure that the city retains or maintains a competitive advantage when it comes to activation and pedestrian amenity.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. I'd also like to add some remarks with respect to this item. This has been a long-term project. It complements what investment has already been made into the East End. It has undertaken extensive stakeholder engagement, most of which, the vast majority of which, is positive. So I also would like to acknowledge the officers working with Kings Park in the design to ensure that the way the area is presented, not only in a physical sense but also in an amenity sense, reflects the biodiversity of our state. I'd like to now thank you. All those in favour? Against? Motion carried. Thank you. Moving now to item 13.10, noting the disclosure of interest by the chair. Would somebody move the motion, please? Seconded. All those in favour? Carried. Thank you. Moving now to item agenda 13.11. This is the heritage grant relating to the Connor Quinlan estate encompassing 6118 and 6112 to 16 Hay Street, 69 to 75, 77 to 85, 87 to 93 and 95 to 99 Barrack Street. Would somebody move that motion?
I'd be happy to move that motion, but also with a second clause that there be no further funding provided under this policy until such time as the policy has been reviewed and given reconsideration by the council.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. I'm happy to second the amended motion. All those in favour? And nil against. Motion, amended motion carried.
Can I, just for the purposes of the minute taker, the reason for that is that I'm not convinced that it is good public policy to invest ratepayers' funds in two privately owned properties. I'm not saying it's a wrong thing, but I am saying it's something that requires review.
My apologies for not asking for a further comment. Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. Moving to item 13.13, this is the budget reallocation relating to the Avenue Road Safety Improvement, noting disclosure of interest made by the Chair. Would somebody move that motion, please?
Just through you, Madam Chair, could I just seek some clarification about the interest that you have? It's an impartiality or a financial?
It's an impartiality interest. I have a property in Fairway which abuts the avenue but is not directly impacted by this particular piece of work.
Okay,
however, it is an adjoining street of which I have a property.
Okay, thank you.
So
I'm happy to move, yeah.
Happy to second. All those in favour? Nil against. Carried. Thank you. Moving to item 13.18, this is the adoption of the City of Perth Outdoor Dining Local Laws. There's a recommendation. We'll take that as read. Do we have a mover for that? Thank you, Commissioner Hammond, and I'm happy to second from the Chair. All those in favour? Nil against. Carried. Thank you. The next item is item 13.19, the adoption of the information governance policy. Do we have a mover for that motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move that this matter be deferred pending the engagement with the commissioners on the development of a policy relating to the management and oversight of council policies.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. I'm happy to second that motion. All those in favour?
Thank you.
Want to discuss further?
And the reason for that is that it's critically important for local in local governments that the councillors are engaged in the policy development process very, very early on. So therefore, the actual need to have a policy, the strategic objectives of the policy, and indeed what the policy will control or cover needs to be discussed in the formative stages of policy development. There also needs to be compulsory, in my view, community engagement with all policies developed. So I think that the time has come for the city to have a council policy that defines the very very important area of policy development.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. I'd now like to note under item 14, Mr. CEO, have any notices of motion been received?
No.
And also have any urgent items of business?
No.
So if there is no further business of the meeting, I'd like to thank everyone for their attendance, and I now declare the meeting closed. Thank you.